You're listening to Classic Business Breakfast with Manu Ebb. It's now time for Cappuccino with the CEO, brought to you by Standard Bank. And this morning, I spoke to Clive Smith, who's the CEO of Tsebo Solutions Group. Clive, thank you so much for your time. You're the CEO of Tsebo. Tell us a little bit about what the company does.
Tsebo Solutions Group is a services industry organization. We're a business-to-business based organization. We're a large employer of people. So with that, we service our customers around catering, cleaning, security, facility services, and all the items that they require to keep the mechanisms of their business going. Our objective is to lower their operating costs, improve efficiency, improve their capacity to expand, contract, and drive their business.
Right. I was reading your bio, and it says here that you have leadership experience across the group over the last 20 years, including being the CEO of Drake and Skull and the CEO of FedEx, and you have a strong financial background. So let's take it back a little bit and talk about how you got into the industry.
I joined the company in 1992. I'm an accountant by trade. I joined in the finance department. I moved into operations shortly thereafter. So I've run the operations areas of the catering division. I've run the operations areas of the facility solutions division. And I took over the group after that. I've also done some procurement in the group and done some of the staff function work as well. Yeah. So from a Tsebo perspective, I've done fairly most of the areas, except for IT and sales.
Yeah.
And I think that gives me a bit of background and experience of servicing our customers.
Was accounting something you've always wanted to study, or did you have other options?
No, I think when I left school, I did some testing and they sent me to go do some finance.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just the way that I got into industry and business. I'm an operator by nature. I'm a general manager by nature. Mm-hmm. I enjoy people. And for me, the passion is really watching something grow, nurturing the people and seeing the people environment of our industry. We're a large employer. Mm-hmm. We employ just on 40,000 people. Our strategy across Africa and the Middle East will take us to about 100 to 150,000 people over the next sort of 5 to 6 years if we get our trajectory correct. That means that from a company perspective, and if you take the ratio across Africa, sort of one salary feeds maybe 10 mouths. We have almost 1 million people that we will have responsibility, accountability to. And that's what really drives my passion, is how can we uplift the people, empower the people, train the people, and grow at an Africa which differentiates itself to the rest of the world.
We'll touch on that. Talking about what you're saying and the value you see in the business and the growth you've seen over the years, a lot of people who are in leadership positions will often say when they look back on their childhood or their upbringing, there are certain events or people that have had an influence to the person that they've become in terms of how they run the business or how they view the world, etc. How would you describe your childhood looking back?
I had a normal, privileged white childhood. Mm-hmm. I went to the military and did my military training like everybody in the apartheid era. I then entered business, and it was this organization, FedEx Group, who first gave me a touch of diversification. Mm. And there was a lady called Dawn Makobo, who was our prior chairlady. And she touched us quite heavily in understanding diversity and the upliftment need. We then sat in a session one day, and there were three of us, a chap called David Noka, Papi Molotsani, who was the CEO of Telkom at the point, one of my peers. And we discussed where we were in a year back in the mid-70s. And one of us was throwing stones. Mm. One of us was sitting in township control camps, and the other one was in exile. And that discussion kind of really, really resonated with me of how we've moved from what we were before and how much upliftment there is and how much diversity is required in this country. Mm. And I think that single moment changed me completely, because suddenly it materialized and actualized of what we're actually here for.
Yeah.
And it made me very proud to see that we've transitioned from what we were to where we are now. Mm. And I think ever since then, we've put an immense amount of effort in our country and our continent. And one of the benefits is our business has grown on the back of it.
Yeah. When you look at that business, I mean, even taking it back to when you first got in there, you've watched the business grow. At what point, when you were sitting in your office and you're taking stock of the company's achievements, were you able to say, you know what, we're on the right track, we've made the right decisions? When did that occur for you?
We were in a single sector in catering originally when I took over. And we realized that we had skills to manage distributed labor, and we had skills to work with people.
Yeah.
We then started entering into other services which were associated and affiliated to ours. And the uptake from our customers and the uptake from our staff and our stakeholders was significantly acceptable. And at that point, I think we looked back and said, we're on the right track. We have a few measures in life or metrics, and one of we call it the bucket, how we lose our customers to how we put new customers in the top. A tap in the top opens the new customers in, and a drip on the bottom. For 10-year consecutive years, we've had roughly organic growth of customers between 8 and 12%. Mm. We've got to be doing something right to have renewals. We mess it up every now and again.
Yeah.
But on an average, our customers come back to us. If you look at our staff and you speak to our staff, and there are numerous examples of people who you interact with them and they say, well, we've been around 15 years and we started off as a pot wash. Mm. People don't wake up at school and say, I've got a career aspiration to become a cleaner or a security officer. So how do we take them, given their first opportunity to be a youth coming into the formal employment environment, and then train them how to be uplifted over a period of time and create a career path for them and an aspiration they can look after their family with? There's a gentleman in our office who's a key part, and he drives our people around. He's one of our drivers. We found him in a toilet cleaning the toilets. And somebody said to him, what do you want to do? I want to be a driver. So we sent him on driving training courses. We sent him on advanced driving training courses. We bought an old car, let him practice. He's now a driver with a wife, two children, house, proud, proud man.
Yeah.
He was cleaning toilets 10 years ago. So it's kind of the signals of that which says, or we can say, we can see the success in our people and in our customers.
How do you handle failure? A lot of people who are in leadership will say, you know, running a successful organization is always great when you're doing well. But sometimes when the ideas don't work out quite the way, or you suddenly feel pressure, it gets a bit tough at the top. Do you have moments where there's a lot of pressure and you're a little stressed, and or you worry about failing or not living up to the expectations that everybody expects of you?
I don't think I have to have concern about not living up to expectations. Failure is part of daily life.
Yeah.
We've got 7,000 sites we operate on. We've got 2,000-3,000 core customers. We've got 40,000 staff. As we're sitting here today, somebody's doing something wrong. One of our customers' premises might have a strike going on. Somebody might be behaving badly. Somebody might be stealing. It's going to happen. We're going to have disasters. We're going to have to deal with an international politician who makes a statement and the rand tanks. And how do we deal with it in our business? It's how we address it, how we absorb the team, how we take the wisdom around our team and the breadth of people around it, and address the problem and live to fight another day and learn from it and embed those learnings in the business. I can list you 10 or 20 examples of my greatest learnings over the years. We've done 13 to 14 acquisitions over the last 4 to 5 years, and we've got a program of another 20 going forward over the next sort of couple of years. The very first acquisition I ever did in my role as CEO was a dismal failure. The person we bought the business from was a lovely guy. The business itself was a lovely business, but we bought a family-owned business.
Yeah.
We weren't at the board meetings. They happened every morning at the breakfast table. We arrived once a quarter to have board meetings. It was a learning. We wrote off the investment. We got a little bit of money back. Never went anywhere. We still got on very well, but it was a failure. But the lesson was, don't buy a family-owned business, which has board meetings every morning, when you aren't at the breakfast table. So there's many lessons that you've got to say. It was a small mistake. We've looked at family businesses afterwards, which are big businesses across Africa, and we've walked away and said, we love your business, but we can't join your board meeting. So it's how do you embrace the learning and move on.
That was Cappuccino with the CEO, brought to you by Standard Bank.